All right, this is episode 421 here on the Flip Empire Show.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. I am super pumped about bringing you this new podcast episode. Instead of doing a Q&A, I'm actually going to bring you a live, a Facebook live that I did with my friend Tracy Royce, who is a very, very successful real estate investor out of the Phoenix, Arizona area. And what we really dive into on this episode is not so much the X's and O's of real estate investing, but Tracy also happens to have really figured out how to properly leverage social media. She is easily one of the best follows, I believe, in our space on Instagram. If you follow her at Royce of Real Estate, Tracy does such a great job of engaging, entertaining, and educating people. And those are the three main E's that we talk about on this podcast. We talk about how you as a real estate investor can leverage social media the right way to build a personal brand, build an audience, add value, help people, and ultimately have a steady flow of opportunities coming your way. Tracy talks about kind of her three-step formula, you know, of connection, consistency, and authority. And we really, really dive deep. There's a lot of people that just don't understand social media. They're not sure how to use it. But I think the one thing that's clear is that social media is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And it's only becoming a more prominent part of our daily lives, of our businesses. So, Tracy here, we go for about an hour plus and straight content. Tracy, again, is just somebody who's extremely knowledgeable, very good friend of mine. And I think you're going to really, really enjoy this episode. Tracy! Finally,
my brother from another mother. What is happening with technology? Oh,
dude, I don't even know. So you and I have been at this for 34 minutes trying to figure out how to get on live using this platform I've been using. So I have no idea what happened. I don't even care. I'm just happy to have you on.
Tell them what I'm using.
What was that? Yeah. So Tracy, guys, is on her phone right now. Like, that was our last case in it. So, by the way, I can't even tell you're on your phone. So as long as we can see you and hear you, that is all that matters.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah. I said, you know what? We're just too energetic. Our personalities, there's just so much energy pouring out that technology just gets all frizzled whenever we try to do something.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? You said it best. Like 10 minutes ago, we're like kind of like not stressed, but we're like, oh, this sucks. You know, we obviously want to deliver for people. And you're like, the irony is not lost on me that here I am, you know, sharing people's social media and we can't even get, like, you know, the tech to work on social media. So it is what it is.
There it is, guys. Nothing's perfect. Just got to roll with the punches.
That's all it is. You know, you gotta maintain a good attitude about things and just adjust and adapt, right? What else are you going to do? So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you inviting me on and being here, and I'm ready to give a ton of value for people, especially real estate investors that want to grow their audience through social media.
Yes. I love it. Well, guys, a couple housekeeping things before we go live here. Obviously, people were planning on this being at 3 o'clock. So do me the favor, do Tracy a favor. Tracy has a lot of great information to share with you guys. If you can share this broadcast, you just do a quick pop-up. If you can share the broadcast with your friends, that would be a huge, huge help. I would greatly appreciate it. Somebody is doing like the ha-ha emojis. Jennifer Wolf, one of our Ascend members, is on here because she really wants to grow her social. So no better person to learn from than you. So guys, if you could do me the favor of sharing the broadcast, just let people know that we are finally on here live with Tracy. And I'll take the hit for this. It was probably my fault that tech didn't work. So, but we are here. And guys, just to kind of set the groundwork, by the way, we want to answer your questions. So any questions you guys have about social media, about real estate investing, how to combine the two, which is what we're going to be talking about, please bring it. We want to answer as many questions as possible and over deliver for you guys. Tracy and I have been friends for 3 years now. Her and I were part of a mastermind group together, and just so so giving and so knowledgeable, brings a lot of expertise, very, very sharp. You know, she's been fixing and flipping for a long time. She knows the game. She's done a lot of deals out in the Scottsdale market. And she has, I'd love to find out how you kind of wrapped your arms around social media, because to me, you are easily one of like the top two or three follows in our space.
Wow, thank you.
My opinion is with social media, you want to engage, you want to entertain, and you want to educate. If you can accomplish those three E's, I think that's huge. And you do that in spades. So I'm not the expert. I feel like you are. I know you have a lot to share with us. So a little bit of background about yourself, a couple minutes, and then let's dive into the meat here.
Yeah, you covered a lot of bases. So in terms of my background, I have been in the real estate investing game for longer than I care to admit, but about 6.5 years on my own. And one thing that was really important to me being in a competitive market was, how do I increase my conversion? How do I set myself apart? How do I make a name for myself? And that to me translated into social media. And I know that it might be hard for a lot of people to believe that but I really am introverted. Like, at the heart of it, I get energy from being with my own thoughts and spending some time alone. You might be on the opposite, but that's good, like a good balance between us, because yeah. Then in small social settings, you know, I think is when I'm more comfortable. So social media kind of fits into that. It's a little bit more on whatever terms that you want it to be. And you can also present what you want on the timeline that you want, and also share what you want. So it just happened to be something that I really gravitated towards, and it can take some time. So when people ask, one of the number one questions that I get, Alex, with social media, are you getting feedback?
No, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. One of the number one questions that I get from real estate investors about social media is, does it work? So let me tell you a story. When I first got started on my own as a real estate investor and I started trying this whole social media thing, I had a gentleman reach out. He's around the same age. And he's like, hey, Tracy, I've been watching you on Facebook and I have this deal. It kind of seems like it might be in your wheelhouse. Is it something that you're interested in? And I go, yeah, for sure, man. Send me the link, or, you know, send me the information. I appreciate that. So, you know, totally off market, what you really want as an investor, not like a daisy chain, pulled this off MLS, marked it up 15K, you know, like
right. Been
a,
there.
A real, it, yeah, especially you as a wholesaler, I'm sure. So I went and took a look at it, and he hadn't told anyone else about it. And I said, yeah, man, this is where I'm at. I'd love to take it down. What's your numbers? We actually negotiated a little bit with that. And that was ended up being a BRRRR property. So buy it, renovate it, refinance it, rent it out, and then repeat. So no money into the deal. That has appreciated over $100,000. And I make quite a bit of money on it every single month. Wow. I have that property to this day. So that was truly organically from doing social media, because I shared what I'm looking for, what I do, where I'm buying, that I'm looking for deals. And that translated into a six-figure payday that continues to pay me. Amazing. So when people ask, does social media work? 100,000 times it works, you guys, but you have to put the work in. And hopefully the tips and tricks that I'm sharing today, you will translate and work it like a business, but also mm-hmm. put your magic into it. So you set yourself apart as well.
I love it. I mean, just the fact that even if you did nothing with social media moving forward, which obviously I know is not the case, there's power in social media. It's not going anywhere. If anything, it's only going to be more and more of a part of our lives and our reality. Just the fact that you were able to acquire an asset that has spit off that much equity and cash flow for you. I mean, it's already like icing on the cake, like you're playing with house money. And people, I think, I know you have a lot to share, but one of the things I want to kind of set the groundwork, people have a love-hate relationship with social media. And I think a lot of people I talk to that are not really too much on social, they see the value in it, but they don't know what to post, or there's a fear or an insecurity, and they don't want to be on camera. They don't want to reveal their private life. So at some point, I know you have a lot to share, but at some point I'd like to kind of address those, because for people watching this, that might actually be the case for them. It's like, hey, I don't really want to put myself out there. And so I think there's fear really holding people back from leveraging social. And at some point, I think we have to kind of overcome that for people.
Well, let's talk about that now, because it's poignant and it's pertinent. So going back to the fact that I am an introvert, probably an ambivert, and I am very private in my actual real life. So if you do follow me on social media, there is, I mean, almost 95% business on there. I just prefer to keep my personal life off of social media. So if you are anything, if we're anything like each other and you want to do social media, please know that there is that boundary of where you can set to say, I'm not going to share this, but I am willing to share this, and you can do that successfully. Now, that's not to say that those folks that do share more of their personal lives maybe get more engagement, because people also want to know who you are, especially mm-hmm. as like a coach, Alex. People want to connect with you. They want to see what type of person you are and, you know, who you are as a just in general. Mm-hmm. You can still add that into your social media without going like airing all of your personal challenges and problems and like all your family business. So there is, for those of you out there that are worried about that, that is still something that you can traverse without, you know, letting people into boundaries that you aren't comfortable with.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I answered your question.
Entirely. Yeah. I mean, look, I think what I would piggyback to that, Tracy, is there was a time where I wasn't even that comfortable getting out in front of people on social media or whether it was speaking. And what somebody told me something that really resonated with me. When you're insecure or you're fearful about putting yourself out there, whether it's public speaking or whether it's getting on social media, whatever it might be, you're in your head. You're thinking too much about you and what you perceive other people are going to think about you or say about you. When the truth is that 99.9% of people are so consumed about their challenges, their stress, like they're worried about themselves, that you need to just put yourself out there and you're going to attract the type of people that want to be in your life and that resonate with your message because you have a unique message 100%. And I think you need to share it with people, and you're going to repel the ones that don't. So who cares? Nobody is out there talking about you. And if they are, like, to me, it's like, what does it matter? As long as you know that you're out there to provide value and to help others and just be yourself, you're not trying to be anybody else. Who gives a damn what anybody has to say? So I just encourage you to go out there, put yourself out there. We have our man, Steve Kavanaugh, sup at Trizzle. I don't know if you can see that on your phone, but people are commenting and putting stuff on here. So anyway. Okay, cool. So social media, where do we even begin? Like, how do we start to build a brand and audience, provide value, et cetera?
Yeah, so exactly like you were just saying, so many people are concerned with their own challenges and they want the entertainment. They want to find value in the people that they're following. But exactly like you said, a lot of us are singers singing in the key of me, 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 you know? So it's just like, you just have to get out there and do it. So there's three things first that you need to really put with social media and do and think on a consistent basis. So that's going to be connection, consistency, and then comes authority. Okay. So connection, consistency, and authority. What connection is going to translate into is connecting with people that are in your niche. So first and foremost, you want to find out, like, or you want to think about, like, what is your page about? So I'm a flipper, you're a wholesaler. Let's just use those as examples. Mm-hmm. I'm going to probably be targeting a certain age group, a certain demographic. Like, I'm thinking of, just like a business owner would, what is the avatar of people that are going to follow my page? So mm-hmm. I know exactly, because of the analytics of my social media, who I'm really talking to. I know what that person looks like, what their demographic is. So you need to do that for your social media as well. Who are you talking to? Mm-hmm. What is your page about? What is your niche? If you say, I'm a real estate investor, well, congratulations. So are about a billion other people on the planet. You know, there's no certification. There's no nothing other than saying, I'm a real estate investor. Yada freaking who cares? So you need to define what exactly your niche is. So I am a flipper in the Phoenix market that is building financial freedom one beautiful house at a time. So I have narrowed down what it is that I do and why the heck you would ever even want to follow me, right? So if you come to my page, you're going to be learning how to flip houses, what I use the money for, some tips and tricks with the actual renovations, and then how I appropriate those funds into like personal finance. So it covers quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then my page also threads in motivation, mindset, self-improvement. So there's a lot going on, but it's still within a niche. So your followers need to decide, what is your niche? What is your following? Why would people want to follow you? And mm-hmm. then keep that in line with what you're posting. So as you're posting things, you want to talk about, like, I'm a flipper, you're a wholesaler. Well, how did you get that deal, Alex? And how did the conversation with the seller go? And did you use an assignment contract or did you take it down? How much money are you making from? So there's all these little intricate things about what you're doing to arrive at success of like when I'm in front of Chase Bank with a check to say, hey, I just made $1 trillion closing wholesale deals like all these guys do in their Lambos. But
You mean people actually do that? Like people put Lamborghinis and
really? Everything on Instagram is real. Everything. Believe every post.
Got it.
So talking about how you have accomplished that success, because a lot of folks are very attracted to real estate investing for obvious reasons. I'm not going to go into that. But they also want to know how you did it. And if I connect with you, you know, I see you just like when we watch movies, we put ourselves in the character's position, right? Like I can see myself being the hero of that movie, or I can see myself connecting with that person, or I've been something somewhere in my life. So when people see you doing it, Alex, or when they see me flipping houses, it's something like, oh, well, if she can do it, I can do it. If this guy in Miami can do it, maybe I can learn from him because I kind of see myself in him too. So sharing your successes or sharing the parts along the way of how you got to that success is something that is really important for people other than just saying, hey, I got this check in front of Chase Bank. Well, congratulations, man. Like, what's that mean to me?
Right, right. Chase Bank, you probably made that up. You've never seen that either, right? Dude, it's all over. But you know what? To your point, T, you just got to be yourself. And like you said, I think one of the things that really jumps out at me is that I was talking to somebody about social media last week. And again, I defer to you. I feel like you've forgotten more about how to properly do it than I know. But somebody was telling me, like, why would anybody want to know, like, all these intricacies of this deal and what I'm doing? I'm like, you would be shocked. People want to see, like you said, they want to be put in your life. They want to see the behind the scenes. I guess a question I have for you along those same lines before we keep going, I don't want to break your flow, but do you carve out time to do a post, or do you think about, hey, I want to do this, or are you just going about your everyday routine and you just happen to put up your phone and do it simultaneously? Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And it's a little bit of both. And truth be told, I need to improve on that because it's getting to the point where I need to be more regimented. I interwove it and interweave it with my business because I see it as a part of my business. So it's not something that like, oh yeah, I have to post this. Like if I didn't ever post on social media, I'd probably do 2 or 3 more houses a year because of the amount of time and effort that it takes. And some of the other Instagram influencers that I'm connected with, it's sort of like a, you know, ribbing each other about it because we're like, gosh, if I didn't have to set up the camera and do this time lapse and put on makeup and do XYZ as I'm doing this rehab, we'd probably get a lot more done. But there is value to sharing our stories and connecting with people. But then also to that same point, to be consistent about it and also think about what people want to see. So that is one thing I really love about social media. If you don't know what to post, as you start posting more, people will react to things. And sometimes what I think, Alex, that I'm like, oh man, I spent so much time on this post, it's going to be fire. And then it gets, you know, a third of the normal likes. And then I post something that is so benign to me that I just think, I'm like, oh, this looks cool. Post it. It just lights up. And I'm like, really, you guys, this is what you, but that's the nice thing about social media is it's like almost like A/B testing. You just get these almost instantaneous feedbacks. And when you take polls and engage with people, the audience is going to tell you exactly what they want. So that's a nice thing is what you think might be perfect. Learn your audience well enough to know what they want to learn too, within staying the boundaries of your niche.
Right.
So the second thing, if I can jump into the connection part.
Yeah. And I popped a question up, but Jennifer, we'll address this question. And I know Tracy's on her phone there. So yeah, go to the second thing and then I'll pop this back up and we'll address Jennifer's question.
Okay, wonderful. So with connection, a huge tip that I want to give you guys is if you are trying to grow your social media following organically, go to Instagram, go to your Instagram page and go to the search section where you can search hashtags and search within your niche. So if you are a DIYer, if you are like you are a drywall person or you do woodworking or whatever your niche is for real estate or a certain area of town or whatever it is, go to the hashtag and look for those hashtags and look for accounts that are doing that, maybe in your area, maybe in other areas, follow them and they should have more followers than you. You want to like connect with people that have a lot more followers than you. Like their page, start following, and then start engaging with these people. Mm. So why I'm advising to do that is because as you comment more on their pages, other people that follow their niche, that is kind of your niche, that are bigger than you, are going to see that you're constantly commenting on that and then also want to connect with you too. So, and then if there's constant commenters, people that comment a lot or say they have, you know, 30 likes on their comment, maybe try to connect with those people as well. Okay. So again, you're going to the search area in Instagram, finding the people and the hashtags that are within your niche and connecting with people that have a lot more followers than you. And then you need to make it part of your regimented social media curriculum, more or less, to comment, like, and engage with accounts that are bigger than yours in your niche. Okay.
Now, how are you commenting at the social media influencer, like the person who owns the IG account, or are you answering other commenters' questions?
Both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
And by the way, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, my instinct is to, I don't know if there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, but you don't want to do it clearly with the intent of trying to siphon people's followers and like, in other words, is there a big difference between doing it like in a douchey way versus a non-douchey way?
What I have learned is that when you, as a follower, say I'm really into woodworking, I'm not, but as an example, there's going to be so many accounts, Alex, that do that, and you're probably going to find five that do it extremely well. You engaging with all of those, the nice thing about social media is it's not a zero-sum game, because that one person that does woodworking might specialize in something, or it's a guy or it's a gal, and you somehow connect with them differently than you do the next woodworking person. So I don't think by commenting or engaging with their audience is in any way taking away from it, unless you're clearly like, hey guys, give me a follow over at my page.
Exactly.
If you are strictly engaging, you're not like going to a party and you're like, hey, this party is pretty cool, but we should go to my party now. You just don't do that. Like, you go to someone's party and you just have fun and you connect with people. And if they're like, hey man, you seem pretty cool, we should hang out sometime, then you're like, oh yeah, so if you want to follow me, you know, my page is over here. Same thing. You just want to engage and hang out.
Okay. Got it. And that's what I meant by when I said douchey, by the way, I meant like if you clearly go there and you're just trying to like just not add value, but just siphon followers and take them. I think there's, you know, you got to kind of be careful with how you do that. But yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. That does not work.
Right. And Haim, by the way, a good buddy of mine. I don't know if you know Haim, great guy. He's actually, so I spent some time with him in Kansas City, very, very successful lifestyle investor. And he does such a natural job of just kind of documenting his everyday process. Comment, like, engage with people with large. Yeah. So great tip. So yeah, thanks, Haim. Appreciate you, brother. Let me ask you Jennifer's question here. Go ahead, T.
Yeah.
No, you go.
On Haim's thread, when he's saying like and get, like, I know he was reiterating what I was saying, but also in the same sense as you are building what you're, let's just say you're posting about a wholesale deal that you just did, and just ask people to engage. You're like, hey guys, this is the contract that I just used. Instead of taking it down, we did an assignment because I don't want to use all my funds on these deals. This is a nice way for me to make money without using my own money. Do you guys like tips like that? Yes or no? And put a poll. You know, so when it's just like, oh, I get to engage with you and you're this huge wholesaler out in Miami and, you know, maybe it's a little intimidating, ask people to engage and also engage with them. So as your audience starts to grow, you still want to engage with them, because it's like just as easily as I could reach out to Jennifer Aniston on, you know, Instagram and think that I could ever get a DM from her. It's the same thing in our community, is like maybe some of these investors you would never have access to, but now somehow you do. And so as your audience starts to grow, you really want to encourage them to connect with you. So, hey guys, do you like this? Help me pick a door color. Do you like that I use the assignment contract instead of this? Do you understand why I did that? Do you want me to talk more about that?
Yeah.
So asking and engaging, like constantly ask, like, and then ask people to follow you, just like you're great at on this live, please share it. You constantly, I'm probably not as good at that to be quite frank.
No, I was actually going to say the opposite. I don't know if you realize how just naturally good you are at engaging people. Like I watch some of your Instagram stories and your posts, and you know, sometimes I watch stories and I just kind of fast forward. Like I want to watch because they're engaging and you put good music behind it and there's good content. A question that comes to mind, if people are watching this and listening to this in the future and they don't have a big audience, what if they're in their head about, well, what if I ask people like, hey, do you like this? And I get like nobody that responds. Like, do I look stupid, or do I look, or my mom says, yeah, I like it, you know, or something like that. Like any feedback as far as like, if people are in their head about that.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, there are going to be days when it's just your mom and your mom's like, oh, you're so great at this. Thanks, mom. And you just have to, the nice thing about stories, you guys are gone in a day. If you totally screw it up, it's gone the next day, or you can delete it. The other part about that is no one cares. You know, you will have a small audience for a long time. You have to put in the work to get this. But I'm telling you, when I had like 1,000 followers and I'm like, oh, I just killed it on this deal and no one gives a shit, you're just like, really? Okay. Sorry if I don't know. If
no,
I
no, you're good. You're good.
But yeah, you will have that space. But then, you know, as you move forward, it's like nobody cares. And if you need to edit some of those old posts out, like I had stuff on there that I'm just like, this is not in any way real. I'm like, hey, I'm at a farmer's market. And that was one of my posts. And then knowing what I know now, I'm like, well, that should have been a story. It shouldn't have been a post. So you can delete it, you know? So it's just learning everything you can about this and then starting the process. But it's like asking one of your coaching students, Alex, I called 10 sellers today and you know, only one of them picked up the phone and the conversation was really awkward because I'm not that good at it. Like, what would you say to them?
Keep going. It's a numbers game. Who cares? Yeah.
That's keep it. Going. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Let me get some of Jennifer's questions in here because she's got some really, really good questions. And this goes kind of back to something you were sharing about 5-10 minutes ago. Do you, and I'll read it for you because I know you're on your phone. Tracy, do you outsource any part of your social media or do you manage everything yourself?
There's an argument for both. I personally manage all of my social media because I have found with even things like blogging, which I tried for a couple years to outsource, I still have to edit it. I still have to go through and nitpick it a little bit because it's never in your voice. And especially if you are growing your audience, people need to know that you are authentic, that you are who you say you are, and who that really is. So I think unless you are a ginormous brand, and I can't imagine how much time Kim Kardashian spends, but you know, on her Instagram, but she still is engaged in that. She still, I'm assuming, sort of manages it. But as a small time investor, like there's no need for you to outsource. And in fact, I think it's actually working against you rather than working for you. Yeah.
I agree. And I think at the heart of Jennifer's questions, I may be wrong here and I'm kind of drawing some conclusions, but it's the time. I think people that are held back with social, it's because it takes time to be thoughtful about what you want to post. How do you add value? How do you engage? How do you entertain? And sometimes people just throw up their hands and they say, screw it. And they just don't do it, right? Look, I'll give a perfect example. We're kind of talking about Instagram, but just social in general. A good friend of mine, King Kong, I don't know if you know Kong, he's got a massive following on TikTok. And he's so good at it. He's been telling me for months, Alex, get on TikTok. And like every time I go in there, I can't figure it out. And I know I can figure it out if I devote an hour or two to it. But I just have so many things going on that I just say, screw it, and I don't do it. So I'm guilty of it as well, you know?
So I have really pulled back on it. So just as an FYI, guys, I have completely had to rebuild my brand because I won't get into it here on air. But I had built it for a few years and then I completely had to rebuild it. So if you search more than probably a year or so ago, like everything had to be deleted. So I'm talking about like updated, having to relearn everything with how much things have changed over the years, having to rebuild voice or real estate in the last couple of years. So I'm with you. Like it takes time, but I see the value in that. And I make time in my business to be able to do that because I look at it as a part of my business. So just like lead generation or follow-up calls or whatever it is that you have implemented into your business. So rain or shine, it does not stop because you know that it's a driving force in your business, which I think would translate for us as real estate investors as lead gen. That's how I view it. Now, that's not to say every single day at 7 a.m. I have a post ready to go. Like I certainly can improve on things, But if you do want to take this seriously, there is that consistency part of it that I mentioned, and you know, the three things that you need to do that is going to really make it a success. Because if you don't do it consistently, then you're going to say, well, Tracy said social media works, and you're going to be 6 months in and maybe have like 50 more followers instead of 5,000 followers and say, well, this stuff doesn't work. Yeah. But just like real estate investing, if you put out one offer a week and then you're like, well, Alex said this real estate investing stuff works, why isn't it working? Yeah. Well, look, homie, you haven't done the reps. And so it's not. So I get, especially, you know, it, like technically I'm still a millennial, but as a millennial, I embrace this and I view it as a part of my business. If you're older, you know, and you just think it's a waste of time, perhaps look at channels that work better for you. So like, I completely laid off of Facebook. Like I had to rebuild everything there. I completely laid off of YouTube. I'm really just focusing on Instagram, or I have been focusing on Instagram, where like right now I can take a breath for 13 seconds in between projects. And so I'm going to be ramping up more Facebook and Instagram again, or Facebook and YouTube.
Okay.
The trick with that is if you have folks, when you produce content, you can have it syndicate out to other areas. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I'm on YouTube, I can syndicate a snippet of that to Instagram. I can put it on Twitter. I can put it on my Facebook. So don't think that you have to come up with four different types or three different types of content and post them everywhere. Save yourself some space. Now, going back to Jennifer, I think her name was Jennifer's question. Mm-hmm. Jennifer, the time that you would want to use, in my opinion, as a growing investor, the time that you would want to use an assistant is to maybe parse up those videos or come up with a something that you want to talk about, and then go on Fiverr or use a virtual assistant to put the post together, and then you post it. Okay. And then you come up with the copy, but they can come up with the cool graphics. So that's when I would use a virtual assistant. But yeah, also pick channels that work for you that you're going to stay consistent on. If you pick five, I'm telling you right now, you will not use them in a way that benefits you. If you pick two or three and just slaughter them, that's when you'll see the success over a year or two, guys. I want to be very clear about that. You have to do this stuff for like at least a year. If you get great success before that, so be it. But just give it a year or two.
Okay. There's so much to unpack there before we keep going. Jennifer, actually, to your point, Tracy, she said, I actually hired someone on Upwork to interact on Instagram because I felt overwhelmed with the time it took. Can I ask how much time you spend daily to maintain your account and interact?
No, you cannot, Jennifer.
So it's a lot, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I can spend up to a couple hours. And what that looks like is maybe, you know, 15 to 20 minutes in the morning, just getting that, that post posted. And that doesn't mean that there's a technology that can't do it for you. I just choose to do it automatically because I need to get better about that. That can also mean throughout the day. That can also mean content creation. That can mean engaging. That can mean searching. And then sometimes on there, I'm just on there scrolling around. And so if we retract that part out of it, I think if you appropriated, let's just say an hour a day, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 days a week, you could start to see some growth. But it's hard. It's very difficult, and myself included, to like, okay, I've liked and engaged, and then not screw around on there for another 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I think is the more difficult part. It's just like you saying lead generation is really hard. Yeah. But you don't stay on lead gen for another 30 minutes looking at people's babies and kittens and
right. recipes. That's very true.
You just get it done. So if you need to be disciplined about it, you can set timers on your phone. Or timers within the apps to say you've spent 30 minutes on Instagram, and it's like, hey, loser, get off of social. So.
Got it. Yeah. No, Jennifer, and I appreciate your question. I think it's a question a lot of people are kind of, you know, that they have, and that's what prevents them. You got to figure out what works for you. Like what works for Tracy may not, like you kind of have to tweak it. Obviously, like leverage a lot of her best practices because she's kind of wrapped her arms around this, the social media, and how to combine that with your real estate business and how to have it, how to build an audience, how to build a brand, how to have it provide opportunities. You know, she talked about a 6-figure deal early on in her social media days. So figure out how to make it work. And she sent a quick follow-up. You know, we're also a flipping company with social media platforms. Do you feel are most important to you for your business? I would think social media for any business, really, but yeah.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to get deals? Are you trying to get funding? Are you just trying to build authority? And it sort of just organically translates to monetization, which is sort of how I've approached mine. You know, it's like, sincerely, guys, I don't have a coaching program. I'm a little bit horrible about asking for things on social media. I feel like I just share my story and then people reach out quite a bit. And so, you know, Jennifer, it really just depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for funding, you need to be more specific about that within SEC guidelines, obviously. If you're looking to coach people, then you need to show and tell more, which you need to be doing on social media anyway. That's to sidetrack what we're saying, Alex, that is a big thing that I think when people are wanting to do more on social media, you really need to frame it as, how am I telling a story here with a beginning, a middle, and an end? What becomes really discombobulating is, well, what do I post? And here's what I had for dinner. And my dog's really cute. And we went to California to look at the beach. And then here's a house that I'm doing. And then what? Slow down.
I'm guilty. So, I've done that. And I do that. Yeah, it's hard. Right. And by the way, I totally misread her question. But this is all really good. And she commented all the above. You know, so what she was asking was, and that was my fault. I fumbled the question. She said, as a flipping company, which social media platforms do you feel are most important to you and your business?
Yeah, I would, to really narrow it down what you're saying, in my humble opinion, it would be Instagram. Instagram is a very visual media. So if you can show before and afters, people lose their minds over that, particularly if you're doing, you know, pretty dramatic before and afters. YouTube is great for teaching. You know, and that's going to call people to your website, which I would imagine would get them to want to connect with you if you have a coaching business as well. So Instagram and YouTube are fantastic. Twitter's kind of dying out. That's more of a, you know, quick information base. TikTok, I think you can draw a big audience there. I have yet to be convinced of the monetization of it, but I haven't done a lot of research, so don't take my word for that. I'm just saying what works for me would be probably Instagram, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook as well. And knowing that Facebook has monetized so much that your posts are diluted. So, you know, don't expect a ginormous amount of engagement rate. You still have to learn. I mean, things change so quickly that you're constantly having to keep up with this. I went off on a tangent there. Jennifer, to answer your question, dear, it would be Instagram and YouTube, and then probably Facebook.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful. I want to go back to the three things that you talked about: connection, consistency, and then we have yet to talk about authority. But as far as consistency is concerned, Tracy, how often are you recommending? What's the frequency of post? Is it multiple times a day? Is it like what? I know what Gary Vaynerchuk says. Matter of fact, and one of the resources I want to kind of call to people's attention, if you guys Google Gary V, how to produce or how to create 64 pieces of content a day, which sounds very overwhelming. He's got like 175 page like PDF deck of walking you through exactly how to create 64 pieces of content a day, which is a ton. But I'm curious on your perspective, like how often are you posting? When are you posting? Talk about the frequency and consistency of it.
So when you start to build an audience, if you exchange your personal account for a business account, it's much like Facebook. It's going to give you snippets of your audience type, when they're engaging, gender, age, areas of the country that they're coming from, and also the times of day that they're most looking at it. So normally speaking, in a global pandemic environment, when people are working 9 to 5, they are engaging it typically before they go to work, maybe at lunchtime when they're just, you know, want to release their mind from work a little bit. And then after work, when they're just kind of scrolling through, watching Netflix, doing whatever they do in the evenings. Now that's not to say that those are the best times to post. You need to look at your specific numbers for your audience.
Yeah.
But I want to dial it down a little bit, because if whoever is watching this now or later is just getting started, do not think that you have to post 3 to 5 times a day. You will see that. But I think as long as you are posting one time a day, make it a goal to post one time a day when people are most likely to see it, generally speaking, before work or after work, and just do that every single day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, I am not the best out of it. Like I run I'm a full-time flipper. I have rentals that I manage. I always have a ton of stuff going on. So if I can get to it every couple of days, sometimes that's enough of a win for me. Again, I'm still growing as well. But if you as new investors, if you can do it one time a day and then just do that every single day, that's more likely to get you traction than getting frustrated with, oh gosh, now I have to post 3 to 4 times a day and engage with these people and da, 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 da.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think to your point, Tracy, you talked about this a little bit ago. The consistency is huge. And the fact, guys, don't set the right expectation. Don't expect that just because you post every day for the next couple of weeks, you're going to grow this massive. This might take 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. Like, stay at it. You grew organically to over 11,000 followers. That didn't happen overnight for you, right? Like, you were very... You were intentional. Yeah, it's a lot of work. You were very intentional and purposeful about it, right? So it didn't happen overnight for you.
So going back to authority of what you're talking about, it sort of intertwines with the connection. When you start to connect with people that are also larger than you in their followings, one of the things that I really encourage you to find is groups of people, say, let's just go back to the real estate investing niche, that they all support each other. So what that looks like is, let's just say a group of 10 people to where, hey, Alex, you just posted something. You're going to go in the flip group and say, hey, guys, I just posted this. Could you share it on your pages? And so now 9 other people in your niche, maybe in different markets, are going to be like, hey, go holler at your boy. He just posted something. Give a shout out to Alex. He just closed another deal. So finding that support network as well, we're all kind of sharing and growing together. Would be a really, really invaluable tool. You can find those same thing in like Facebook groups. You know, it's not terribly different to do that. And you're all supporting each other. And another thing with authority is I also want to address what I call faux authority is, can I just go out and buy 15,000 likes, Alex? Can I just go out and buy 100,000 followers? And you can. You could. I could also go out and rent, you know, a G-Wagon and go in front of, a million-dollar mansion and say, listen, guys, I'm such a player. I just closed so many deals. Look at me. And try to grow from there. There is a little bit of fake it till you make it. But when it comes to social media, my line of thought, and others might disagree, is people see through that bullshit pretty quickly. If you are not out actually doing deals and sharing and giving, and you're singing in the key of me, 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 like, listen, man, I don't give a shit that you bought another Lambo. Good for you. How did you do it? How can I do it too? Unless you can show me how to do it with stuff that you're doing today, not like 10 years ago, homie, what does that really do for me? So yes, you can go out and buy all those. You can get boosts, but there's other ways to organically go about it that also increase your engagement rate. Because if I go to your page and you have 100,000 followers and like 31 people liked, or, you know, let's just say 3,000 liked your last post, but one person commented and it's a crypto spam comment, like,
yeah,
I can see right away that your numbers aren't real. So
yeah,
what does authority really look like? Authority looks like when I am sharing and giving from within my business that I don't have to, you don't have to share any of this. We're doing this for free, but we want to see other people succeed. Because we've come from a place of starting from scratch, and there's so many things that we can share and give away to help other people along their journey. And if I can give you a behind the scenes of what that looks like, you're going to want to follow me. I'm going to want to engage with you. So the more you start to do that, the more you start to connect with people that are larger than you, the more you start to support other people's journeys as well, you become connected with people that are authorities in your marketplace. And as people start to see, you know, you connected with other authorities, as they start to see you close deals and help more people, you now become an authority. Okay. So what does that look like? That looks like you being consistent on social media. People see you around all the time. And so they're like, oh, okay, there must be something to it. I see this guy everywhere. I see this gal everywhere. It starts to look like I see this person closing deals or whatever respective successes in your niche. I also see, you know, them getting more opportunities. So the more that people see you do that, you're going to get opportunities in the way of funding, becoming more of an authority figure, getting speaking opportunities, getting coaching opportunities.
Yeah.
So all of that comes from the other two things, which is connection and consistency. Does that make sense?
I love it. It makes perfect sense. And you know what's interesting? Correct me if I'm wrong. And by the way, Tracy, feel free to push back if what I say is incorrect. But from my perspective, I see a lot of people go at it the other way, where they try to fake it till they make it. They establish this authority that they're not. And yet they don't have the consistency. They don't have the connection. And so it just doesn't work for them. But the way that you outlined it, connection, consistency, then all those opportunities follow as a result of doing those two things.
Yeah. No, you got it. Nail on the head. And that's not to say, I mean, listen, there's plenty of people out there that might work for them. And it's more of an affiliate marketing sort of situation. There's no right or wrong. I'm just saying this is what has worked for me. And if you want to, like you put so poignantly, follow best practices to grow organically and become known as authority in your niche. Like something that I sincerely didn't know is like, as people approach me and I've talked to more people throughout the country, they're like, there's really not that many female flippers that have done it successfully on their own. And I swear to God, Alex, like I don't think that way. But I didn't know that because I'm just out here working and I'm like, oh, here's what's going on with this deal and here's how I'm doing that. And I didn't realize that that's like a thing. Okay. I just figured that it was something that, I don't know, I didn't need to pay attention to. But I think that that's something that's helped me. So as you, audience member, are deciding, how can I add value? Why would people follow me? Why is this worth it? Because you are going to be sharing your successes along the way and what that looks like for you, because you're going to find other people that look, act, feel, think like you do, but they're not as far along as you. So I sometimes, like, honestly, Alex, I will have maybe a rough day, or I'm like, dude, I get tired of having a camera in my face sometimes. Like sometimes I just want to, it gets to be 115 here. Like I just want to go work at a property and get my day done and go home and cool off. And I'm like, you know what? But when people reach out and they're like, hey, what you do, you know, meant a lot to me, or what your postings cheer me up, or I learn a lot from you. That's something that keeps me going too. And I'm like, not like in a negative way, like I don't have to do any of this, but in some way I feel like I owe it to people because it means so much to me and I hope it means something to other people. And as you start to build yourself as an authority figure, you really do get a lot of encouragement and positive feedback from people too. So just know that's why you have to stick with this, because the more you grow, the more connection you're going to get from people too. And once you become an authority figure, it's something that really is satisfying, but also opens doors to a lot of opportunity.
You nailed it. I didn't realize what a blessing the Flip Empire Show, the podcast, has would have been when I launched it 4 years ago. But there's something so rewarding and fulfilling when people reach out to you and they say, hey, you know, this really helped me, or hey, this had a big impact on me, or hey, I love this episode. I love that you said, like, it's so rewarding. And to your point, it really, I know it fuels you and it definitely fuels me. But I think that's, Tracy, because we're approaching this with the go-giver type mentality versus always posting and asking for something in return. You know, you mentioned something that kind of, it landed home with me. You said something along the lines of, I feel like I don't do a very good job of asking for things. I think that's part of the reason you're extremely successful through your social media, is because you're always giving, that naturally opportunities are going to come right back at you. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So as your audiences are growing, when you guys are starting to do more and more social media, just like SEO, just like any sort of technology, it's going to evolve and change. And so you need to look at, how are things evolving? How is the Instagram evolving? How is Facebook evolving? And how can I adapt with that? That's sort of like down the road. But just do know, as you start whatever you're doing on social media, that what's working right now is probably not going to work exactly the same in 6 months. And so much like any other tool in your business, you're going to have to update, adapt, and evolve with it. So you need to evolve along those lines too. So just review and evolve and keep growing with it. And it's social media, so, you know, you can edit, you can go back. Some of it is forever and ever. So, you know, also be mindful about what you put out there. If you don't want your grandmama, your auntie, your your kids to see it, you know, anyone, then I would just, for me as a private person that's also introverted, you know, I just want to also say what you put out there could be everlasting. So, you know, just be mindful of that as well.
So I know that you've, guys, by the way, there's several questions that have popped in here. Hi, I appreciate your question, brother. I will get to that. Santiago, Jennifer. So if you guys have questions, we want to answer them. And by the way, Tracy, I don't know if this would be a value of anyone. You give me your thoughts, but maybe we could even pop your Instagram page on here. I can share my screen and we can kind of go through some of your posts, and maybe you can kind of walk us through what you were thinking here. And just a thought I had. But guys, if you have any questions, fire away. T, what's your opinion on, if I'm someone who I've chosen to put my personal, my family, because I want to. I want to share with people, you know, they're my family. They're, aside from God, they're what's most important to me. And but you've decided not to put your personal life out there. There's no right or wrong. I think whatever you want to do is perfectly fine. For people that do put their personal life out there, what would you say if their goal is they want to monetize or they want to grow an audience, they want to develop a personal brand? Do you have an opinion on the ratio or the mix between personal post and business post?
I don't, because I don't do that. And so I can't speak with authority towards that. What I can say is there are some ladies on Instagram that they're DIY mommies. And so what they do is they take a for all intent and purposes, a tract home, and they customize it using hand tools and, you know, doing the construction themselves and doing these like really cool finishes and DIY projects around the house. And they talk about their kids and they talk about what's going on in their life. And man, they have 10 times the followers. Their engagement rates are just through the roof. And that's a really cool niche that I see happening, is these women empowering other women to like, don't be afraid to do your own shiplap or paint this wall or do these sort of things, like pick up a power tool and just get it done. And I see how much they share. And I applaud that. So there is a way to interweave it, because people do want to see more of who you are, what you're about, how do you spend your downtime, what do you eat, you know, like things like I don't think anyone would care about. So, you know, like even for instance, this is so dumb, Alex, but I went to Mexico, last year, and I was down there for like a week and was closing a couple deals. And I was like, you know what, guys, I just want to close this deal. I'm walking on the beach after I went to Chichen Itza all day and my phone was off, and I want people to handle their end of it. And I've done my job, and I want to get back to my hotel, have a cold beer, and see that the wire was in my account. Like, that was the big thing to me. Okay. Well, in that trip, I had a passion fruit, and I had never had a passion fruit before. And I was, you know what it looks like?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So
do I know what the actual passion fruit looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird looking fruit.
Yeah, it is. So I was like, hey guys, I think this is passion fruit or dragon fruit. How do you eat it? Like, do you cook it? Do you slice it? Like, my DMs blew up. So nobody cared about my deals. Nobody cared about it. I mean, they did.
That's hilarious.
But just things like you would never suspect of, like, day-to-day stuff, because we're all human. Like, at the end of the day, like, I love what I do. I find a lot of joy in my business. But, like, you know, when we all hang out, we're all joshing each other and goofing around. And it's like the little stuff that people just find, I don't know, just more engaging as a human being. So however that translates into your family life, you know, being respectful of boundaries on social media as well, I think that, you know, it really can be entertaining. But also just really connecting with people as well. It's just something, again, I am not married. And so I just keep my personal life off of social media.
Yep. Totally get it. And I think to your point, you know, like, have fun with this process, have fun with social media, experiment, put different types of posts out there and see what resonates with your audience and your, you know, the people that follow you. Because I think you mentioned it, Tracy, sometimes you think a post is going to blow up and it doesn't. And then other times you post something that it goes like, you know, you posting about passion fruit and not your wire hitting. So yeah.
Well, my wire did hit. My exactly what I wanted to happen happened. I got back from going to see the seventh wonder of the world, drove back, got to the hotel, talked to the agent, wire hit, and went and had a beer. It was fantastic. But the passion fruit.
So check this out. I'm actually, let me see if I can, I'm going to share my screen here, guys. Do me a favor. Tracy, look at the comments. Let me know if I'm going to share your account here. So this was a pretty badass picture. Let me see if I can find it. You were jumping in the air. This one right here, is this because you figured out how to eat the passion fruit or because your wire hit? can you see it?
Oh, yeah, that was the one in Tulum. That was before that deal closed, but I had received some really good news that day on my deal. Okay. And I was sitting at the beach and trying to do nothing. I had a beer and a design magazine and sat there for like 4 or 5 hours just hanging out, because that is a rare occurrence for me.
I love it. I love it. You know, so look, as I'm scrolling through your Instagram page here, there's funny memes, you know, like the dude from, what's his name? Chang from The Hangover. But did you cash flow? It's so funny. It's hilarious. Like, you have a good mix of like tweets from other people that you've screenshotted. Oh, look, who's this dude right here? Wholesaling in a changing market. Who's this dude right here? So,
who's that good looking fella?
Thank you. Thank you. But no, seriously, you have a really good mix of posts. You know, you have funny memes. You have awesome fix and flip before and after pictures. You have, I mean, you just have a really, really good mix. And I think a beautiful kitchen, I'm assuming, of a property that you rehabbed. My $1 million morning. So that adds a lot of value. So guys, don't try to copy Tracy, but take best practices. Like, look at her page, scroll through it and ask yourself, hey, what jumps out at me? Right? Is it like, look at one of her, I guess, room of a rehab you did. You have quotes, a quote by this dude, Demo Day. Like, you just have really, really engaging content. And I don't know if you've quite figured out that formula, but it seems like you have a really good mix of just like engaging, entertaining, and educating.
So part of that's going back to, and I might need to plug in my phone. It's getting a little bit low here. Part of when we first started talking about finding exactly what your niche is. So like, if you go to the top of my Instagram page, I try to make it as clear as possible. And it's still not like extremely, it's still not like extremely dialed in, but it still says like why you should follow me. So what do I say? Like, creatively building financial freedom one beautiful house at a time. So people know I'm about personal finance and I'm a real estate investor. And one beautiful house at a time, I did that because I'm not just a flipper. I have rentals, you know, I am a full-time real estate investor. So I didn't want to just be pegged as a flipper. But then it also talks about, you know, follow for tips, like why you should follow me. And so within that, I'm doing what I said I was going to do within my post. And so a lot of times, like I'm asking, like on that last one, hey, did you guys like the sandblasted block versus painting? Here's what I do in the mornings to start my mornings off successfully. Here's a before and after of a kitchen and some of the renos that I did to it. And then I'll also talk about business and mindset and best practices within fixing and flipping. So one of the things, Alex, is I've been so busy this last year that I actually haven't done more blog posts and videos. And that is something I want to start doing more now. And so what I'll be doing that your other followers can do is taking content from like a Facebook video and adding it to Instagram and then linking back to your blog. So that's what I mean by syndication. You can take one piece of content and share it globally within the channels that you're using to draw people to you. So to Jennifer's point, like if she's looking for funding, if she's looking for... my phone is starting to go dead. She's looking to find more deals, then, you know, she can use parts of that same content in different channels to attract what she's looking for.
Okay, cool. Tracy, I can spend a few minutes talking about your page and just kind of sharing some of the things that jump out at me. Do you want to plug in your phone or do you need?
Yeah, I do, because it's going to go dead in 5%. So if you can talk for just for one, I'll be right back.
Okay. No worries. Go find your charger. Guys, so let me go ahead and share. I'm going to share my screen. And from my perspective, you guys might have some different thoughts. And again, if you have any questions, now's the time to fire away. But look, when I look at, hopefully you can see my screen. When I look at a post like this, my $1 million morning, it's a cool picture of Tracy standing on a bed. You know, she's smiling. So it's engaging. And then she's got these 10, like her morning routine, right? Like sunrise alarm, visualize, get up. That adds value, that post. And then if you notice, when people comment, one of the worst things that I've learned that you need to do is reply. If somebody takes the time to comment on one of your posts, take the time to reply back, or at the very minimum, like it. I see so many pages where people actually take the time to comment or ask a question, and then the author of that post or the Instagram account owner, the Facebook, whatever, they don't even take the time to reply back. Might sound like common sense, but make sure that I think that speaks to the whole engaging part of it. Let me see here. So, okay, Tracy, you're back.
I am.
Okay, cool. I was just sharing with people some of the things that kind of jump out at me, but let me kick it back over to the screen here. Okay. Hopefully this isn't making people dizzy, kind of bouncing back and forth, but.
Sorry.
No. I was sharing your page, but T, I wanna bring in some questions here. Let me see here. Haim, do you recommend to focus on one platform or try multiple platforms at the same time? And if only one, which one do you recommend for a real estate investor? So I think you talked about Instagram and Facebook being the top two, right?
And yeah, this is getting so awkward. My stand is all over the place. So if I look like Godzilla, just bear with me here.
You're good. You're good.
I think that you should use whatever you know that you're going to use consistently. And it depends on what it is that you're looking for. So Instagram tends to be very visual media. YouTube, I think, is more informational. Of course, that's a visual media as well. Facebook, I think, still has some value, but do know that it's been monetized so much that your engagement rate might be a little bit lower, depending on the existing audience that you have already. But my overarching answer is use the one that you know that you're going to use consistently to your best advantage.
Yep, exactly. By the way, and you can also, like, from the same piece of content can be leveraged. You know, you talked about syndication. So for example, if you like to tweet, you can take a tweet, you can screenshot that tweet, and then you can post it on Instagram, for example. So think about ways that you can get more juice out of the squeeze, so to speak, is something that that I wanted to just share. Santiago's got a good question. Is there ever a time where it makes sense to share that cute dog picture, trip to California? Totally. Does it make you more relatable?
Absolutely. Yeah, Santiago. So it does, and it humanizes you. And I think it's part of something that you should include with your post. Just try to interweave it with everything else that you're doing consistently. So we touched upon it for a second, Alex, but I do want to stress the importance of telling a story as you're sharing. And posts are one thing, like posts are static, right? But in your story timelines and Facebook and Instagram, I really try to impress upon people to, like any other story, a beginning, a middle, and an end. So like, if you follow me, you'll see like on my flips, I'm like, hey guys, here's where I got this deal. Here's the process of happening. It's about to close. We just went through the appraisals. I'm waiting to hear back on the appraisals. So like, there's sort of a fluidity to it, but that's not to say during that process that I'm like, hey, I went for a jog today, or I did this. I mean, sincerely, people do want to connect with you. And like, if you are your own brand, like my brand is Royce of Real Estate, then people want to know what else that is about. Just like they're going to want to know what your brand is about, because whether you think so or not, each of us is our own brand. Some of us just label it differently. But if you're going to become an authority as a real estate investor, people are going to come up with what they think that you are as well. So just show them and tell them, and let them connect with you on that more human level too, especially with like dogs, you know, who it's so universal. Like people love that stuff and what you eat. Just don't make all of your posts about that, because after a while, it's just not as, at least to me, you know, I'm like, I just don't want to see a ton of that stuff, but that is just me.
Yeah. And by the way, maybe an idea, Santiago, is if you have a cute dog or something, bring the dog to like one of your projects or like a property you just wholesaled, and now you can kind of like combine the two. Do you know, have you ever seen the show Million Dollar Listing New York, Tracy?
Yeah, I have.
So Frederick, the tall guy, you know, so he's one of the three agents on that show. I read his book. I'm forgetting what it's called, but he's got a book essentially on sales. And one of the chapters is about social media. And he talked about like when he posts pictures of his dogs and things of that nature, those get some of the highest likes and engagement. So I think you just got to find the balance, right? You don't want it to always be about dogs unless that's your niche. But, you know, you just have to kind of figure out what works for you, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And people want to connect with you on a personal level too. So don't be afraid to make it part of it. Just make sure that you're staying consistent with everything else that you're doing.
Yep. Tracy, a couple more questions and then I want to kind of get you out of here.
The only reason I keep playing with my hair, I have not had a haircut in almost 2 months now.
Dude, you and I both, I feel like a wolf. Seriously.
Oh my goodness. If anyone has a flea and can take care of this. So my hairdresser couldn't fit me in until the 30th. And so I am just I look like a orange mess right now, but.
No, you're good. You're good. Don't worry. So, let me see here. Jennifer's got some really good questions. Do you think interacting and commenting is more important? Let me see. Is more important in growing than content?
Do you think interacting and commenting is more important in growing than content? One's going to feed the other. I mean, you should be commenting and engaging on other people's posts alongside you doing it on a consistent basis, because as you engage with more people, you're of course going to hopefully be inviting them in a very organic way to come interact with you too. And they should have something to interact with, which should be your posts.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Good question. Good question. Let me see here. I think we got a couple more guys. Now's their chance. If there's any questions, go ahead and put them into the comment section. By the way, Tracy and I obviously are friends on Facebook and Instagram and everything else. If you guys have any questions in the future, maybe something you think about, I still encourage you to put it in the comment section. We'll circle back and answer it. Okay. So Jennifer wants to know, what other apps or software do you use to create content, video, and picture editing?
I use Fonto, that's Phonto, to do those posts like the Million Dollar Morning. It's really easy. Just make sure that when you edit the picture, it's a 1x1 dimension, so it fits within the square of Instagram. That I use to do that. I use, you know, I don't do a ton of videos on Instagram. I do some, but not a lot. And so I just use the video editor. What is it called? Not Camtasia. Forget the name of that one. I use that on my computer.
A video editor?
Yeah, I'm on an Android, you guys. So if you have an iPhone, I don't know. There's a really good. Don't do me like that, homie. Come on now.
I didn't say anything. Maybe my face said it all, but I didn't say anything. Tracy, yeah. I would have totally expected you to be an iPhone girl.
Really? Yeah. I'm PC all the way, man. But right, there's some really, really good video editing on Android and on iPhones as well.
Yeah.
And then what other apps? There's apps that I do not currently use that will actually export your post at a certain time of day. So Instagram doesn't organically allow for that. There's not a setting to do your posts every day to schedule them, because Instagram was really supposed to be about spontaneity. However, obviously, software has come out that you can now schedule posts. So you can look into that as well, especially if you're overwhelmed with, oh, I have to add this into my morning or my nightly routine. Well, you don't. I mean, you have to schedule, like you have to come up with the content and then schedule it and then put it within those apps to be able to post and syndicate it for you.
Okay, got it. And then it's, let me go ahead and put it here. This is, so Jennifer was asking, Fonto, it's Phonto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right, let me hear, Jennifer, I'm going to go ahead and put this on the screen for you. Yeah, it's Fonto. So that's I think it's an app you can download. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Guys,
another one that I like is InGrabber, InGrabber.
Okay.
And what that does is that grabs IGTV, or excuse me, when you go live, you can only on certain accounts, I think you can save your live, but this app has a workaround. So you can grab that live and then be able to save it as a video and reproduce it in other channels.
Is it that what I put on the screen right there, InGrabber, just the way it sounds?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Hey guys, if you want to connect with Tracy, I'm going to put her IG on here. If you're not following her, definitely recommend you follow her at Royce of Real Estate. Tracy, a couple more questions, but before I do that, if people want to just reach out to you, find out more about what you have going on, maybe even ask you more questions about this type of stuff, how do people just connect and, you know, figure out what you might have to offer?
Yeah. So my handle is the same across most social media or all social media channels. It's just Royce of Real Estate. I'm most active currently on Instagram. So if you guys want to follow along my journey and share along each other's journeys, that's probably the best place to do it now. I will be going on a little bit of a content manic, output here over the next few weeks when I have 13 seconds to breathe now in between projects. So I'll be doing more on YouTube and Facebook and blogging as well. But everything, including my website, can be www.royceofrealestate.com, and all my handles are Royce of Real Estate.
I love it. Yeah, guys, and we have it on the screen, Royce of Real Estate. So let me, Jennifer, Fonto, this is an interesting question. Chris wants to know, what does value mean to you?
That is such a good question, Chris. Mm-hmm. I have got so many benefits from social media that the value for me has come by way of opportunities and connections. That could mean something very different to you. A lot of times people want to know what is this worth my time? Certainly it has been for me. I gave you the example of the six-figure deal that came from it. but also just having connections throughout the country that I can ask people questions and share in their journeys as well. And also find funding, like I find private money investors from social media. So value to me is also at this point in my career, wanting to share more, because I do feel like, especially as the market changes, I feel like I do have a lot of answers that can help people that maybe don't know how to shift. And so that's meaningful for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a good question. And I would love, Chris, if you're still watching this, I'd love to know the context in which you're asking, because for me, if you're asking, hey, what do I find valuable? What I find valuable, you might not find valuable, but if you know your audience and you know your avatar and you're producing content for your audience, think about, you know, your journey and think about, hey, when I first got started in real estate, I remember I was kind of afraid to write up a contract because I felt like I would screw up and was I going to get in legal trouble? So maybe you kind of walk people through your journey as you're filling out an actual contract on a deal. So think about some of the challenges, hurdles, questions, concerns that you had throughout your journey, and then you can put that out there. So when I record a podcast by myself, I'm answering questions that are coming to me or questions that I know are going on in the minds of people that follow the show. And to me, that's me adding value to them. But yeah, as far as Tracy, you know, her answer is spot on as well. Like for me, it's the relationship capital. It's being able to connect with people, engage with them. That's valuable to me. You know,
the other end of the spectrum too, is if you are buying houses seller direct, most of the time people will look you up. And one of the things that helped me with my conversion rates is people would go, that website no longer exists, but they would go to my old website and say, you know, I got all these letters. I had people come to the door, you know, I looked you up or my wife looked you up and we felt like we could connect with you more because of what you had on your website or the videos that we saw where you were talking about how to get through a short sale or what that meant. And so, you know, we've mostly been talking about connecting with other investors. So B2B. In the B2C format, people, if you're buying houses seller direct, will also investigate you a little bit. So if you are out there producing content and video with your dogs, with your family, you know, telling sellers and talking about deals that you've done and how you've empathetically solved their solution or, you know, brought a solution to the table. That is a huge, like if you could increase your conversion just because of something that you did 6 months ago that is everlasting and evergreen, what would that mean for your business? If you could beat out your competition because you're on social media, what would that mean?
Right, right. So good. Tracy, we are almost an hour and 10 minutes into this. I'm so glad we were able to get you on here.
Finally, sorry.
We battled for like half an hour trying to figure out how to get you on this thing. So I'm so glad we were finally, I thought at one point we were going to have to reschedule. So I'm very confident in saying that I'm sure people got a lot of value from this. There was a lot of questions.
Okay.
And you know, one of the things is learn by watching what Tracy's doing as well, and then kind of taking what works or what resonates with you and just testing it. For a lot of people, it's going to be the mental hurdle of just putting yourself out there. So maybe an exercise is record a video or write something and maybe don't even post it, but just sit on it. And then do that enough. And at some point, you're going to gain enough courage to just go out and put it out there. And then just build on it. Like anything else, you know, you weren't born learning how to ride a bike or how to swim, but you figure it out. And then now it's just like second nature to you. So Tracy, you rock. Love what you're doing. Thank you for all the value you provide. So again, words for real estate.
Yeah. And to that point real quick too, I just want to say, you know, there are people that have far bigger followers than I do. I am not great at asking for things on social media. I'm not great at being like, hey, go to my website. So I am learning too. And it's not to say I don't know this stuff. I just haven't been as great at it. So, you know, connecting with me is like, you're also going to see me along my journey. I want to see you along yours as well. And we can grow together. And my hashtag changed at the beginning of this year before all this pandemic stuff happened. It's ironic, but maybe not, Alex. And it's hashtag build more together. I think that is going to be part of what is going to be ingrained in the new framing of what success looks like. And that is not competing as much. That is not a go it alone type of attitude. It is a collaborative. It is a sharing. It is a communal type reframing of what we're moving into. And so in as much as that means it translates to social media, I hope that people follow me at Voice of Real Estate and that we can hashtag build more together.
I love it. I love it. Well, We can just leave it there. I don't have anything else to add, but really appreciate you. I know, obviously, we've built a friendship throughout the years, and I know we're going to be doing more together, hopefully, and I'm sure we will. So thank you. And guys, always appreciate you following along on my journey. If you haven't subscribed to the Flip Empire Show, please do so. You'll get notified every Monday and Thursday when episodes get released. And if you enjoy me going live, this is something I've kind of been testing for the last month and a half, is recording the show live and then publishing it on the podcast. In the past, I just used to record and then it would get released. So Santiago adds collaboration. Yeah, so absolutely. It's all about collaboration, not competition. So Tracy, my friend, appreciate you. Love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You always bring the fire. So thank you.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. All right, guys, we will connect soon. And if questions, feel free to fire away in the comment section. Tracy and I will circle back, answer them. And again, subscribe to the Flip Empire Show and reach out to Tracy. Follow her on Instagram at Royce of Real Estate. All right. Take care, guys. Thank you. Awesome. Do that again, Tracy. I'm going to have to like capture a screenshot of you going like that. There you go. Awesome.
Make sure you follow Alex at all of these channels.
There you go. Love it. Love it. All right, Tracy. Have a great one. Take care, guys.
All right, man. Thanks.
This show is sponsored by Ascend. Our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show, but we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.